Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise Pros, Stan the Man, Paul Segretto, Badlands, baby. Franchising today, sustainable growth, sensible franchising. Franchise today, sustainable growth, sensible franchising. Franchise today, franchise today.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Today is Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. I'm reporting live from the rainy, stormy city of the Woodlands, Texas, and my co-host, Stan Friedman, is in the great city of Atlanta. Stan, how are you today?
Paul, I'm doing great today, and it's sunny and beautiful in Atlanta, but I know from years of living here, whatever starts in Texas winds up here about 2 days later. So thanks for the heads up.
That's for sure. And I was late getting on because a friend of the show had me on the phone, Nancy Bigley, CEO of Bottega, former guest of the show. She does say hello as well. So it's great. I mean, it's really great with a lot of friends, loyal listeners of the show. It couldn't be a better time for Franchise Today. Stan, what's going on the front of the house today?
A big hi to Biggs before anything. Hope she's listening now that she's off the phone with you. And a little bit going on in the front of the house, Paul, not a whole lot, but a couple of things that are certainly noteworthy. You know, in all the years of work that I've done in the name of diversity with the IFA, I've gotten the opportunity over the years to work with some cities and administrations of mayor's offices and the like that have every now and then had a collective eye toward the business side of legislation and doing public-private sector initiatives that made sense to business people. But, you know, on a whole, when you look at mayor's offices, that's just typically not the case. But I want to take my hat off today to a mayor who I've not met, you know, a couple of mayors like Dennis Archer, Mark Mallory when he was the mayor of Cincinnati, Byron Brown, who's still the mayor of Buffalo, all great civic mayors, but business-minded. Well, today I made the discovery of yet another, Paul. It was in the IFA Insider where I read about Mayor Catherine Pugh of the city of Baltimore standing up and threatening to veto a $15 minimum wage increase, saying, this isn't just bad idea, it's bad business for our city. We can't compete competitively with other municipalities in the state of Maryland if we take this leap. And hats off to this mayor. I don't know her, but, you know, there I would think is a franchise-friendly city for you listeners, because the city of Baltimore has a mayor who gets it, can create more jobs and opportunities without having to mandate the minimum wage by being competitive in your marketplace. So hats off to you, Madam Mayor, and hopefully you can talk some sense into some other municipalities who haven't quite figured that out yet. The other thing I wanted to call out today, Paul, is one of our great franchise friends. In fact, I don't know why we haven't had Peter Cancro as a guest yet, but we need to talk to Brian Summers about possibly getting Peter to join us on Franchise Today. I'm talking about Peter
Cancro. I talked to their PR people, Kyle Potvin, and we will have Peter on the show in the very near future. So,
well,
we got their
good
covered.
Stuff, because Peter, as most of you may know, and for those of you who don't, is the founder and the CEO of Jersey Mike's. And today is an incredible day, which is a once-a-year event, but also part of the 30 days of the month where every year Jersey Mike's makes an incredible, incredible effort toward putting the entire sales for the day today. 100% of everything that goes across the counter at Jersey Mike's today goes to charity, which is an incredible, incredible commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It is their day of giving, and the day of giving is the culmination of their seventh annual month of giving fundraising campaign, which for the entire month of March gave 150 local charities around the nation more than $4 million last year, and we'll probably top that this year. You can't make it up. You know, when you talk about a company that walks its talk and serves the communities that they serve sandwiches to, hats off to our good friends at Jersey Mike's. And I hope that that doesn't upset our upcoming good friend Jimmy John. But, you know, a little equal time here. And speaking of that, you know, it's a weekly tradition for me, Paul. I took the last bite of my number two about 5 minutes before airtime. And and the countdown is on to the 19th, just a couple weeks out, when we'll be sitting down and doing this program with none other than Jimmy John Liatu, the founder of Jimmy John's. And that's going to be quite a treat for me, just because the Jimmy John's number two is part of my weekly Franchise Today ritual.
Well, that's great. Good stuff on front of the house today, Stan. I want to talk about one thing before we bring in our guest. You know, I'm happy the statue of the fearless girl, that's that statue that was put on Wall Street, right across from the massive Wall Street bull, which, of course, symbolizes, you know, great American capitalism. I'm happy that the fearless girl, which was supposed to be temporarily in place, gets to stay in place a while longer. It symbolizes the power of women in leadership. And as I said, as it stares down that massive Wall Street bull, to me, it's also symbolic of not only the great strides of women have made in business and especially as entrepreneurs, but at the level of which they're achieving success. And to that end, I want to give a shout out to Catherine Monson, our good show friend and franchise colleague, CEO and president of Fast Signs, for that recent article just the other day in the Huffington Press. I mean, just a tremendous article. If you haven't had an opportunity to see it, I highly recommend getting over there as quickly as possible and reading it. Just tremendous. Kudos. Well done, Catherine, as always.
I haven't seen that yet, but I'm going to make a point of it now that you've made me aware of it. Thank you for doing that, Paul.
You're welcome. So this week on Franchise Today, as the title says, seem double, but it's not pizza pizza, as we know at Little Caesars. It's cheeseburger, cheeseburger. And we have as our guest today Bruce Sicari, who's the CEO of Cheeseburger, Cheeseburger. And it's interesting because this is a concept that's origins is a throwback to the place families congregated at back in the day. And a quote that I found, which was, imagine you have the place all to yourself. Take a seat at the soda fountain. Pull up an old-fashioned chair. Look around at the neon lights and neat signs and posters. Check out the cool T-shirts, gifts, and collectibles. Turn on that great 50s and 60s music. Stan, that feels good, doesn't it?
It doesn't just feel good, Paul. It's starting to make me feel like that number two was a good start, but I probably need some more.
So to that, welcome, Bruce, to Franchise Today.
Thank you very much, Paul and Stan. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
So I've got
a great pleasure to be here today.
Right out of the gate, I've got to ask a question because as I did a little homework trying to learn more about the brand, I discovered that this brand's roots are one of my favorite, if not the favorite, destination place for me on the planet, Sanibel Island, Florida. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That was our original store 30 years ago, and it's still
Mark
there. It's still our flagship store. Yes, we're on Periwinkle. We moved from the original location, but we're still on Periwinkle, and that's still our flagship store.
So, Paul, here's one for you from that little book that we call You Can't Make It Up. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Sanibel Island, for those who don't know it, is probably the most anti-franchise place on the planet Earth. You can't have a franchise. They don't allow franchises, and if you were one that was there possibly before they stopped allowing them there, you couldn't put up your sign, you couldn't do your colors. Everything was just, you know, individual as can be. it's ironic, isn't it, that a guy like me who's living and breathing franchise his whole life loves Sanibel Island more than any place on earth, but it's also the birthplace of Cheeburger Cheeburger. Isn't that just a dichotomy in that, isn't there?
Can't make that up. Can't make that up. So, Bruce, why don't you take us back as we were talking about memory lane and how long ago, you know, people were congregating and hanging out at the old-fashioned soda shop, so to speak. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your career going from, you know, public accounting all the way through to, you know, being the CEO of Cheeburger Cheeburger.
Well, I all my life I've been a CPA, and I tell everybody that's my real career. But back in the 80s, we were going to the Sanibel area, and I've always been in and out of the restaurant business, and property became available, and we bought it, and we had a fellow that we knew that came up with this idea, this Cheeburger Cheeburger. He said, look, when you look at the name, does it, you know, do you have any doubt of what we're serving? So we started it, and it was a success from the first day we opened. We were open about 3 years. We decided to start franchising, and we just pretty much gone from there. We've never really publicized very much. We pretty much got all our franchisees from word of mouth or from the Sanibel store. And so in the middle 90s, I retired from being a CPA, and my son took over the practice, and then I've done this full time, and I enjoy it. It's been a great ride, and we're coming into a new era. My grandson just came on board, so we're entering a new era to continue on the brand.
So tell us a little bit about the consumer experience. What, you know, what happens when somebody walks in the door for the first time?
Well, as you said earlier, we think if I had to describe it in one word, I'd say it's a fun place. It's a fun place. We have neons. We have we've had the quilted stainless steel and the looks of the old soda fountain, but really it's the food. I mean, we would never have been around this long if it wasn't for the food. We feel, you know, I don't tell people that we're the best of any, you know, we're the best, but we certainly don't take a back seat to anybody. I mean, we have all natural beef. We have 5 size burgers, and that's where we have quarter pound, third, half, three quarters, and a 1-pounder. And we have 8 different. We offer 8 different cheeses and about 30 different toppings. So we say invent your own burger, and as you pick your size, you pick your cheese, you pick your toppings, and it's fresh, never frozen beef. We have French fries and onion rings, which we cut the fries fresh on premise. The onion rings are made fresh on premise with our secret batter that we've used since the day we opened. We have hand-dipped milkshakes, which are really our specialty. They're made with Edie's ice cream, which is one of the best brands out there. We have minimum of 75 flavors, and of course you're free to mix the flavors, so there's unlimited combinations of the milkshakes. So really it's a great eating experience. I mean, that's about the best way I can put it. I mean, it's people enjoy. They enjoy just being in there, the facility, but they enjoy the food. The food really is what we sell and what's made us successful.
So you're mentioning a 1-pound burger, and right away I got hungry for lunch. certainly, and looking at the pictures on the website, you know, certainly I'm sure the taste is there as well. Although I've never eaten at a cheeseburger, but I'm looking forward to doing so right here in the Houston market at the Vintage Park, where I know there's one. Tell us a little bit about, you know, actually starting, you know, the restaurant. I mean, I know you said you found some, you know, property and everything took off from there. But obviously this is kind of an Americana type of concept. I mean, this is back to family and feel good at a time where, you know, fast food hamburger restaurants were popping up and they were very much, you know, cookie cutter and sterile and not paying as much attention to quality. And yet you seem to be on the opposite end. It seems like there's a lot of detail that have gone into the interior of restaurants. As I said, the Americana, the family experience, there's 50s and 60s music playing. There's the fresh menu fare. Tell us why you went in that direction. Why did you see, what did you see in the marketplace at that time that thought this would be the right differentiating proposition for Cheeburger?
Well, we thought burgers are always, I mean, burgers and pizza, of course, but burgers are always have been, and we feel always will be one of the top foods in this country anyway. And we felt that, again, it's good food. People still like good food served to them in a good clean atmosphere, and that's really what we, it's just the basics, and we went back to those. Most of our stores are owned by franchisees, and they are there in their stores every day, seeing to the details, greeting the customers, making sure the experience is what it should be. Again, we pride ourselves on our food. I mean, it's really food and service. And that we feel that's something that won't ever change. It's, you know, there's other concepts, there's all kind of new concepts, and many very successful ones. And I am, you know, but I still think there is a room for the old fashioned good food and good service. So that's really
so why we, the America why the Americana design. I mean, what led towards the Americana design? Was that something designed from the start? Is it something that you evolved into?
It was designed from the start because it meant to be, you know, when you come into the place, you feel good. I feel good just looking at the place because it's a throwback to the days of the old soda fountains and so forth. And It's a feel good type atmosphere. I mean, I sit in the restaurant many times and listen to customers, and it's amazing how many times the people I see them looking around. They say, "Gee, this is a fun place. Gee, this is a great little place. Gee, this is a fun place." And then, of course, the thrill I get is watching the customers eat. I mean, they're just not, you know, eating their food. I mean, they're enjoying every minute of it. And that's the thrill that I get. I mean, the customers really enjoy the food. But they also...
Well, yeah.
They, you know,
I was
going to
say,
just,
and enjoy
they love
it,
the looks of the
enjoy
place.
Enjoy it, they do. Yeah, and they enjoy it, they do.
And they love the looks of the place. It's a fun-looking place. I mean, you really... When you walk in, you just get that feeling that it's a fun place, and we try to. And again, it's but you have to take care of your customers too, and we feel we do a good job of making the customers feel they're at home, and it's a fun place. It's fun for the customer making the selections, picking out the flavor of the milkshakes, picking out the toppings for their burgers. We do serve salads. We do the same thing with the salads. We allow them to pick whatever toppings they want. So the object is to have fun and have what you want. We don't just offer six different combinations and you got to pick one of those. It's the fun is building your own burger, inventing your own. We call it inventing your own taste.
Sure, sure. And enjoy it. They seem to be. I mean, I've done a search of the different review sites, and I love this one comment from a satisfied customer on TripAdvisor in 2016. He said, Saturday Night Live with John Belushi back in the day had a skit with him saying, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. So when I saw this place, I said to my wife, SNL had a skit that had this in their comedy routine. We had to go there to try it out. And I'm sure you have a lot of customers, especially in the older demographic, that remembers that Saturday Night Live, you know, skit, and of course the famous, the infamous by now, you know, cheeseburger, cheeseburger, just another portion of Americana, so to speak, although a little bit later than the 50s and the 60s. So when you go into a new territory, Bruce, and you know, people in the area are not yet aware of the brand, how do you, how does the franchisee, if it's a corporate store, how does the corporate operations get the word out about cheeseburger, cheeseburger, and not get lost in the maze of all the competitors, you know, coupons and stuff like that? What's the enticing thing that you're looking to, you know, provide the consumers in that new market to come on, you know, and try out cheeseburger, cheeseburger?
Well, it's again, food being the main the main thrust of our advertising. But the first thing we do is when a franchisee starts construction on a store, the first thing we have them do is put up the sign. And because the sign tells it all, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. I mean, that's, there's no question what's going to be served in that location. So when the sign goes up, immediately it draws attention, and there's immediately everybody wants to know. Well, they know what it is, and everybody loves cheeseburgers. Matter of fact, a few years back, the cheeseburger actually overtook hamburger as far as the number being sold. Years ago, when we first got into the business, everybody sold hamburgers, and if you wanted cheese on your hamburger, you call it a cheeseburger. But really, cheeseburger was not its own product. And over the years now, it's become its own product to the point where it sells more than – cheeseburgers are sold more than hamburgers. So we try to put up the sign immediately. That immediately draws attention. In the advertising that we do, we show our product. And that seems to be what's rather than offering coupons and so forth, it's still the draw is still the food, and we try to get that out to the community as soon as possible. What we just a picture of our burger, that alone it brings people in immediately, and then it's up to us to execute and do a good job and keep them coming back. We pride ourselves in having an exceptionally high rate of return customers.
That's an interesting comment, and I'm going to come back to that with one question before I do. When you come in as a consumer, as a customer, whether you've been told about it or you're coming for the first time, walk us through the experience. Is this a fast casual experience? Are you walking into a big menu board and you've got all these decisions to make, or how do you help the consumer
what we do is
opportunities for instant flavor?
Yeah, this is a sit down restaurant, so there is a wait staff that comes to take your order. But when you sit down, the host or hostess will go through the menu with you and go over the menu, point out the burger section, and show the sizes, and show you exactly what the procedure is for building your burger, and the same thing with the shakes and so forth. So they go over the entire menu with you to familiarize you with the process, and then we're one of the few places that does not come immediately and take your drink order. Many restaurants come immediately and take your drink order. We take the whole order at one time because we found that sometimes you come to take the drink order, people are just saying, well, yeah, okay, I'll just have a soda, Pepsi or Coke, whatever you have, and they just let it go at that. Where, again, we have a variety. We have flavored lemonades. We have Pepsi, of course. And then we have our milkshakes. And our milkshakes really are our signature product. So we want to give the customer an opportunity to look through the whole menu and make their decisions, and including possibly a milkshake. Because, again, you can't get a banana Oreo marshmallow milkshake at just any place. I mean, we pride ourselves in that there's no limit to how many, within reason, of course, there's no limit to how many different flavors you can use to build your milkshake, just as there's no limit to how many toppings you can put on the burger. So it's we try to instill in them that, you know, this is the food is great and it's a fun way to do it, and that's what sells the customer.
I did note, though, looking at some pictures online, that there is one limitation to the drinks that you can get, in that I saw a big Pepsi sign, but no Coke.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm a Coca-Cola boy here in Atlanta. I couldn't help it.
Atlanta, I was just going to say, Atlanta does not, that does not go well in Atlanta. But but thank goodness the rest of the country is pretty good about that.
But I just had to throw that out there. What I want to come back to, though, because you pointed it out a couple of times already, is the level of service and the level of customer care. So when your first location is in a place like Sanibel, you're in a place in a resort market where, you know, most of the time, even when you find restaurants that have great food in their local restaurants in places like Sanibel, when you're in a resort market or you're in a vacation market, you're not in a place where consumers are likely to come back again. And as such, service usually in those kinds of destinations is not famous for being the best. So I'm guessing that you not only provide an excellent culinary experience and wow your customers with your food, but if the experience for service is what you're describing, and it's in a place like a Sanibel, and they've got great service in a vacation market, when they see your sign again after they've gone back home, I'm guessing that has a double impact. Am I right?
Exactly. I mean, believe it or not, we do have on Sanibel a large number of repeat customers. I mean, we have people that come into the restaurant at 5 minutes before closing, all out of breath, that they just came from the airport. They haven't even gone to their hotel, and the first thing they want to do is get the cheeseburger.
I love it.
So it's we have many of them that come every year, and we pride ourselves, especially on that store, and all our stores, but especially on that store, we pride ourselves that we had a customer come in and he wanted a milkshake. But he was diabetic. So the manager ran next door to the grocery store and got the sugar-free ice cream so we could make that person a milkshake. So, I mean, it's going above and beyond. We that store especially has probably the least number of, as some of the stores, I would never lie and say we don't get complaints now and then. There's something that, you know, something goes wrong every now and then with a customer's order. But at Sanibel, it's probably the least, and that probably is the least number of complaints, because we cater to the customer. And if there's anything wrong, we know about it immediately, and it's taken care of immediately. And that's, we try to instill that in all the other stores, that you satisfy the customer. You want them satisfied before they leave. Many people leave. We do have some customers that they will write in afterwards, and the tone of their comments is that they love our restaurant and they want to come back, but they can't have it. They can't come back and have the same thing happen as happened that evening. And so it's, they're loyal customers that they want to be they're used to an experience, and they love the experience, and they want to be sure that they get that same experience next time. And that's what we really focus on, is giving them that same experience.
You're listening to Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman, along with Paul Segretto, and we're talking with Cheeburger, CEO and founder, Bruce Zakari. When we come back from our break, we're going to start talking a little bit about the franchise side of the business. Franchise Today is brought to you by the Franchise Foundry, where they've been bringing emerging brands to market for more than 30 years. The Franchise Foundry fosters healthy, sustainable growth for their clients, the kind that only comes from experience. Franchise Foundry provides both coaching and consulting, a hybrid approach delivering more effective solutions for both the franchisor's corporate team as well as their franchisees. Franchise Foundry team is rich in practical, hands-on experience and expertise with general business management, operational and change management, digital marketing, and, of course, franchise recruitment and development. Plus, the Foundry team can also guide you with creating roadmaps for potential mergers and acquisitions. You can learn about all of this and more and Paul Segretto's Franchise Foundry at www.franchisefoundry.com. Franchise Today also brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and document management software designed specifically for franchising. FRM empowers real-time business intelligence, communication, and collaboration between all members of the franchisor's team and their prospective as well as existing franchisees. This enables you to simply and seamlessly track, access, and manage all messages to and from prospective and existing Zs, including text. Legal and compliance is simplified, too, with FRM's document management, and even site visits can be digitally facilitated and scored with FRM. Make today the day you give FRM a look and assure that all of your candidate and franchisee correspondence, including texts, are being permanently tracked and stored in candidate and franchisee records. No long-term contracts, no excuses, just solutions. Find them on the web at frmsolutions.com. So, Bruce, we've talked a lot about the consumer experience and the level of service and commitment to quality in the product that crosses the counter. Let's talk a little bit about the franchise side of the business. How do franchise prospects actually find you? Is it more word of mouth and experience from having been a consumer, or do you have a marketing arm as well that directs people to you?
Most of our new franchisees come word of mouth from the stores. Over the years, that's what we've last few years, business brokers, a lot of brokers are calling us, but in the overall, it's mostly from the customers coming from our stores, which is much easier for us because they already, half of our job is already done. They already know the brand. They already know what a facility looks like. They know a lot about it. So that makes it much easier to sell when the prospective franchisee comes from the store. Most of our franchisees have never been in the restaurant business. And there's been concern about that. Many times people say, "Gee, somebody's not in the business before." But yeah, that's our job though. Our job is to teach them the business, and we think we do a pretty good job of that. We have most of my staff has been with me, anywhere from 13 to 20 years. So the staff has been around for a long time, very experienced, and because we're a small company, we're a hands-on company. So the franchisees get hands-on training. We are all available on a 24/7 basis for the franchisees. So we really make it a pretty easy experience for a franchisee to own a franchise and own and operate a franchise.
Hey, Bruce, tell us a little bit about your the leadership team at Cheeburger. Cheeburger, who supports you, who helps, you know, day-to-day operations, et cetera?
Okay, well, we have, I guess, one of the main people in our organization is a fellow named Bill Connery, who, by the way, lives in Atlanta. Stan. Bill has been around the restaurant business all his life. Bill worked with Long John Silver, the seafood chain, for many, many, many years. He was their vice president in charge of operations for all their stores east of the Mississippi. And he retired from them back in the middle 90s and came and found me and originally wanted to be a franchisee. But I was just getting started, and I convinced him to come on board, and he's been with me ever since. He's one of the backbones of the company. Another fellow I have is Charlie Ike. Charlie is actually one of my franchisees. He's come on board to head operations, and because he knows the operations very well, he owns four restaurants himself. So he knows the restaurants inside out and all the facets of their operations. I have another fellow, Bruce Colvin, who originally managed one of the restaurants for a franchisee and then came on board. And he works with all the suppliers. We have a great, great relationship with all our suppliers. We deal directly with our suppliers, and they work very well with us, getting us the best possible pricing for all our food products. And we have a young lady, Cheryl Empert. Cheryl has been with us something like 15 years, I believe. And she's in charge of training and store openings. When a store opens, we'll send a crew there for at least 14 days. Sometimes longer. We never leave a store until we feel the store is able to operate, you know, the management is able to operate on their own. That sometimes has gotten a little out of hand when franchisees we had one franchisee had a nervous breakdown the day of the opening, and we had to run the store for about 2 months until she came back to reality. But again, we pride ourselves that we're hands-on. We are available 24/7, and we pride ourselves in how well we support our franchisees.
What type of locations are you typically looking for Cheeburger? Cheeburger, are they freestanded? Are they end cap, strip center, malls?
Mostly strip centers, somewhere around 2,000 to 2,400 square feet in a strip center. We don't really look for end locations. Many times end locations have more window space than usual. And we have a lot of in-store signage and so forth. And sometimes the end location is not always the best. It's the best for exposure in some cases, but basically it's a 2,000 to 2,400 square feet in a small center. Typically we stay away from large malls, even though we have a company store in Fredericksburg, Virginia, that's attached to a large mall, but pretty much it's in strip centers.
What about the profile of the franchisee? So you've made it clear that you don't necessarily have to have restaurant experience. What do you look for in a prospective franchisee? What do they need to bring with them besides the ability to capitalize? And we want to know what that looks like too, what the all-in would be for somebody to be able to get one of these started.
Okay. It varies anywhere from 200 to maybe up to 500,000, depending on the, even though we would shy away from that, that's kind of a big investment. It all depends on the, what the facility was. We try to look for places that have already been a restaurant So the facility is already there. The restrooms are there. The kitchen is there. the venting system is there. So we try to look for something that's already been a restaurant. Excuse me. We try to stay away from centers that are just being built. Many times you'll go into a center that's just being built, and if you're one of the first people in the center, you're going to pay rent for a center where there's going to be other stores drawing business to you, yet they're not there yet. And what happens, you're paying the rent and you're not getting the full benefit. So, and you're having construction going on, which keeps people away. So we try to get facilities that have been restaurants before that lowers the cost. And again, the franchisees, we look for people who really are going to be there to watch it. We do have some store owners that have more than one store, but they're there to watch their stores. We want to be sure they're going to be either there on premise to watch, or they're going to be have some method of overseeing their store. I mean, it's still, as I've said earlier on, and I probably can't stress it enough, that execution is so important. And so we want to have somebody that's going to be devoted to executing the concept. And either if they're not there, they're going to be sure that they're going to have people in place there, and they know that that's something that has to be done. So we're a little, we're not a little, we're a lot, very, very, we watch very carefully to see that they're going to have that kind of devotion to the concept.
Bruce, what parts of the country are you looking to expand Cheeburger?
Well, that's really pretty much any place. We do have a large number on the East Coast right now. So New England, for some reason, we've not had people call us from the New England area, and we think that would be excellent. We have stores in, you know, New York, Long Island, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. So we're looking for that East Coast. But again, we're just opening a store in April. We'll be opening our first store in the Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. We have a store in Las Vegas. So we have two in St. Louis, Missouri. So we do have some going out west, but again, the East Coast has been very good. Our name is very well known up and down the East Coast. But we're pretty much open to going all over.
All right, good. So how would somebody that might be interested in the Cheeburger Cheeburger franchise learn more, and is the brand going to be at any upcoming franchise events or anything like that?
We are not at the present time. We have not scheduled for any events, but we just did redo our website and make it more user-friendly. And so our website is cheeburger.com, and that really gives a pretty good education as to what we're all about and how they would be information on becoming a franchisee and so forth. So that's probably our best way, is the website, cheeburger.com.
All right, great. And that's Cheeburger, CHEEBURGER. Leave out the S and the E in cheese. That's Cheeburger, Cheeburger. Bruce, I welcomed you here today. Thank you for being our guest today. It was most informative, and to your continued success.
Thank you both, Stan and Paul. Thank you both very, very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Well, Paul.
Well, Stan, that was Cheeburger, Cheeburger, not pizza, pizza.
I like the way you did that at the very beginning. You baited me in. You got me hungry. Even though I was eating my Jimmy John's number two, you made me hungry.
Yeah. Pizza, pizza. Pizza, pizza. Cheeburger, cheeburger. God, I can't say that fast. I'll have to go back and look at the John Belushi episode of Saturday Night Live. So anyway, that's it. We're wrapping up another segment of Franchise Today, looking ahead. Hopefully we get confirmation soon on Peter Cancro from Jersey Mike. If you're out in the area today, your neck of the woods, any neck of the woods where there's Jersey Mike's, go in there, drop a couple of bucks, make sure you get it, you know, Mike's way, and, you know, contribute some money to charity. Today's their National Day of Giving. 100% of all proceeds at all locations will go to a local charity of choice in that market. That's really tremendous. And, of course, looking forward to April 19th, Jimmy John. I'm going to say that three times to get away from pizza, pizza, and cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Jimmy John. We'll be on the air. So anything
he's
else
be
to,
with us.
To wrap up?
Yeah.
Then? Yeah.
You know, Paul, we're sitting here at the last week of the month, last week of the quarter, getting through the first quarter already in just a flash of a blink of the eye. And, you know, we're only 3 weeks out from the multi-unit conference back in Vegas with our good friends from Franchise Update. A couple of the keynotes this year are notable at multi-unit. Marcus Lemonis from TV's The Prophet and, you know, four-time Super Bowl winner Ronnie Lott is going to be delivering a keynote as well on, you know, and he's an athlete who's not a franchisee, I don't believe, or a franchisee of any brand, I don't believe. I think his career now is mostly broadcast, but who better than an eight-time All-Pro team player and four-time Super Bowl winner to talk about how to break through obstacles and barriers to get to your destination. So I think this year, Update has really stepped up the game in Ronnie Lott and Marcus Lemonis both as keynotes, and that's just a few weeks out. If you've not registered yet, plan to be in Las Vegas on April 23rd through 26th for the multi-unit conference. The IFE is just around the corner from there, coming up in New York on the 15th and through the 17th of June. And in between those two momentous events, of course, the IFA's Legal Symposium in Washington, May 7th, May 9th. And, you know, before you know it, we'll be saying, well, we're wrapping up another quarter, Paul, and we'll be looking at Washington, D.C. for the Fan Franchise Action Network this year. Lands very notably on 9/11. So it'll be Franchise Action Network 9/11 through the 13th in Washington, D.C. So, you know, a lot seems out there, but look at the pace we've been moving at. You know, life is getting faster every day, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, I was really amazed at how fast things are coming along. I can't believe it's been a year already since we had our good buddy Chris Hanks on the air from Kennesaw State University. I believe that was a year ago already.
No, hard to believe. Just talked to him last week, too. He's just doing great. Just got back from a trip to Greece. And, he's one terrific guest. I think he's somebody that we'll definitely bring back for a round two.
Well, yeah, I look forward to that. And, of course, I look forward to this show every week with you. I want to give a shout-out to our friend at Georgetown University, Dr. Ben Letalian, watching his skiing escapades out in Utah, and especially his buddy that went in the outhouse and came out with only one glove. Can't make that stuff up, Stan. So we're going to end it on that note.
Hey,
oh,
I got a great picture.
On that
I've got a great picture of Ben Letalian that I'm going to put up on. I'm going to put it up on my Facebook page again today so that if anybody who's listening wants to go look at this photo, I took a picture years ago at an IFA convention of Ben Letalian and John Reynolds standing together in the hallway at the convention. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm talking to you right now, you look at those two guys together and you'd swear they are brothers from the same mother. They are like kindred twins. You got to see that picture. I'll put that up on Facebook again today just for grins.
I look forward to it. Well, thanks, Stan. Until next week, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, great thing called franchising. And Franchise Today is out.
Franchise Pros, Stan the Man, Paul Segretto, Badlands, baby. Huh. Franchising today, sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise today, sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise today. Franchise today. Franchise today.